Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I know we just got a quick 3 to 4 minute open here, and then we'll get a chance to chat more after the news and weather break here. But this headline caught my eye a while back. New York targets beef producers, but can't even meet its own climate goals. So great to have former New York congressman, and he nearly pulled off a victory as a Republican for governor of New York, Lee Zeldin. Great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be with you.
Are you going to make it to the Trump rally in Montana tonight? It's going to be a great one.
I wish. I'm here in the blue state of New York. And how awesome it would be to instead be hanging out with y'all out there. So unfortunately not tonight. I know I'm going to be missing an awesome one.
Well, you know, it's those blue states or the swing states where the fight really matters. I think, you know, and the fact is, look, Donald Trump's going to win Montana by 15, 20 points. But he's here because he understands how important this U.S. Senate race is here. And getting Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy in there and getting this liberal flip-flop, flat-top John Tester out of there.
Well, I'm hoping that the senior senator here from New York, the Senate Majority Leader, becomes a Senate Minority Leader. In order for that to happen, it's important for the voters of Montana to take care of business. Tim Sheehy would be a fantastic senator. We're excited about him from here. Amazing military service record. A conservative who has impressed many, not just within Montana, but beyond. So the excitement for him is building about getting him to Montana and having him there to help actually get stuff done working with President Trump, as opposed to what would be a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate that we've experienced already in the past, will oppose, resist, impeach, obstruct everything and anything. We need people who are going to be there looking to get stuff done to save this country as opposed to blocking it.
I was flying back from a military memorial ceremony in the Washington, D.C. area, and while I'm waiting for my flight to Montana, the flight from New York City came in, and Chuck Schumer walks off the plane, and I said, "Hey, Chuck, we're gonna defeat John Tester in Montana." He whipped around. You could almost hear the hiss. And he gave me the nastiest glare. So you could tell how much Chuck Schumer needs John Tester to push his radical leftist agenda.
Yeah, the map right now across the country favors the Republicans for the Senate. And but we can't rest. I mean, we have a lot of seats that are winnable, but the Senate candidate is not polling as high as President Trump is. So if a poll comes back in Nevada and says President Trump's up, you know, 2 points or 4 points, whatever, that doesn't mean that the Senate race has us up. Same point, whether you're looking at Arizona, Ohio, and elsewhere. So being able to win this seat in Montana is key. We're going to be flipping the seat in West Virginia where Joe Manchin stepped aside, so that helps.
That's
and
right.
If you win the presidency, that also changes the vote, too, if you have a tie Senate. Right now, Kamala Harris is the tie vote. President Trump is successful, then J.D. Vance becomes the tie vote
instead.
But we don't want it to be that close.
Hold that. That's right. Hold that thought. Back with Congressman Lee Zeldin right after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The House of Representatives is now on its summer recess until September 9th. The House was supposed to meet until August 1st, but left a week early. In fact, the House has only met for 3 weeks since the middle of May. And as a result, lots of members aren't showing up to vote. The House voted on supplemental spending bills for Israel and Ukraine on April 20th. Just 7 members missed those votes. But the numbers of absent members is often in the 20s and 30s, if not higher. Nearly 20% of all members are missing votes on final passage of bills since mid-April. That figure jumps to an average of 25% on amendment votes. In the last Congress, only 6% of members missed votes, but some of that was thanks to the pandemic-imposed proxy voting. Lawmakers could vote remotely. On what's termed a fly-in day in Washington, a Monday more than 2 weeks ago, a staggering 68 members missed a vote on a non-controversial measure. Some members missed big chunks of time due to illness and family issues. Democratic Pennsylvania Congressman Dwight Evans was out recovering from a stroke. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with an isolated shower storm chance across areas towards Bozeman. High temperatures will meanwhile stay from the mid-70s in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, isolated shower chance mainly towards Bozeman early. Temperatures will head back down to 49 in Bozeman, with lows in the mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
If you missed this earlier in the week, he fired his last shot at the Olympics in Paris on Sunday. Monday, he was on his way back home to Billings, Montana. And Wednesday morning, we were honored to have silver and bronze Olympic medalist Brady Ellison drop by our radio studios. Great conversation. I've got the full story and some incredible photos from Paris. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, the story from the 1924 Paris Olympics that's not being told. Incredible story there, too. MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with former New York Congressman Lee Zeldin. And nearly pulled off the win as governor. In fact, I was chatting with him a little more during the break. I really thought there was a good chance that you were going to be President Trump's pick for running mate because, you know, especially at the time, Donald Trump, it was really looking like he could pull off a win in New York. How bad is it getting in New York? And are people in New York waking up because of, you know, all the illegal aliens that are being, you know, shoved into their communities? Are people waking up more to what these blue city policies, these blue state policies are actually causing?
Oh, absolutely. And since Joe Biden was elected in 2021, 22, 23, the elections in the state, the political earth under us has been shifting right. New York is only 22% Republican. But in the governor's race in 2022, I got just under 50% of the vote. We elected six House Republican freshmen in districts that Joe Biden had won. There were a lot of longtime Democrat constituencies that we won. So inside of New York City, we won the Dominican vote, the Asian vote, the Orthodox Jewish vote, and others. And that's just something that needs to continue. I have been encouraging President Trump and others, especially those who are running statewide for Senate races, governor's races, is to get into the blue cities and, you know, talk to people who for a long time haven't even heard from conservatives because they think they're ready because they've been getting so burnt by Democratic policies. There are Democrats who are disenfranchised by the Democratic Party, but they aren't going to just naturally come our way. We have to go out and earn it.
You, speaking of getting out there and earning it, George Blackard asked a good question. So what's Lee Zeldin up to now? And you told me during the break, 21 counties. That's where the difference was in 2020. You're targeting those 21 counties. That's crazy that it just comes down to less than two dozen counties across America.
Yeah, that's right. It's an America First coalition led by America First Works. But a lot of groups have been involved in this effort. What started with 19 counties, it was called Project 19, two counties in Michigan in the Detroit suburbs were added. And these are counties that we all have heard of across the country, like Maricopa County in Arizona, Fulton County in Georgia, Clark County in Nevada. Counties like this decided the race in 2020, and we can't avoid the hard work. There are less than 90 days left. We have to view November 5th not just as election day, but the last day of voting. I mean, right after Labor Day, ballots are going to go out in Arizona, in North Carolina, in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, they now have universal mail-in balloting. They just mail ballots all over the place. It's crazy. But we can't just boycott it, because if we wake up on November 5th saying, well, we'll just take care of business on election day, we will wake up on November 5th having already lost Pennsylvania. So getting out door-to-door is key. Anyone out there who wants to learn more, you can go to AmericaFirstWorks.com. We're also, I've been working with President Trump and his campaign. Anyone out there who wants to get involved, you can donate $5 at DonaldJTrump.com. You can sign up to volunteer. At the top, you'll see a link to Trump Force 47, where you can sign up to be a volunteer. I've done some of the trainings now in Nevada and Arizona. There's one in New York and Maine. I've got a couple others on the books here coming up. So there are so many ways for us to help out for people who live in Montana. First and foremost, above all else, winning this Senate race is so critical. There's no better way for voters in Montana to save this country in 2025 than making sure that Tim Sheehy becomes a senator here on November 5th.
Well, and speaking to cattle ranchers in Montana and folks who love our Montana beef, you know, just like Democrats in New York are targeting beef, Kamala Harris is anti-beef. You've been speaking out against that. Since we've got a couple of more minutes here, though, with you, I didn't even realize this. You were in Iraq around the same time I was. You had that 82nd patch on your shoulder, and you continued serving in the Army Reserve. My goodness, Tim Walz, and why does he feel like he had to embellish all these things about his military service? I mean, this stolen valor, I don't even think he should survive through the DNC.
Yeah, this is something that isn't going to just go away. And I have a tremendous amount of respect for anyone who wears our nation's uniform. You just can't ever make it to be any more than what it is. If you serve 2 years in peacetime and never get a chance to deploy, and that's it, 2 years and you're out, I am grateful for your service.
Yeah.
As long as you don't try to convince me that, you know, you didn't do two, you actually did eight. Or, you know, even though you served in peacetime, you're trying to convince me that you were serving in war. As long as you don't make it anything more than what it actually is, we all are grateful Americans who appreciate your service. Unfortunately, in this particular case, and it's been caught on camera, is that he talks about retiring as a command sergeant major many, many times. He never retired as a command sergeant major. Listen, retiring as a master sergeant, heck, an E-8?
That's awesome.
That's impressive. But you don't make it out to be anything more than what it actually is.
No, well said, and thanks for your service. Final thoughts, we've got about 30 seconds to go. What else do you want to tell folks across Montana? Lee Zeldin, great to have you.
Hey, we need to talk to people in our lives who are low propensity voters. There are people who we know who voting on election day is a game day decision, and most of the time they don't vote. We need to get everyone we know active. Right now we need to get them active. None of us can wake up on November 6th regretting that we didn't try harder. This is one of those elections where we are all relying on each other to save this country. President Trump can't do it alone.
All right. Well, Congressman Lee Zeldin, great to have you. Thanks for your service. Thanks for your time. Say hello to our friends back in New York. I had some great guys, some great New York National Guard guys I was in Afghanistan with. And great, great people. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're going to get George Blackard's take, Freedom Friday, right after this.
Military Matters.
The FDA is weighing whether to approve MDMA or ecstasy for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, a decision that could impact U.S. military veterans who say the psychedelic drug, which gained popularity at rave dances in the 1990s, relieved their symptoms of PTSD. Psychiatrists like Dr. Manish Agrawal have been reporting dramatic results.
I think MDMA allows people to access parts of their trauma that are deeply seated, that they've not been able to access with traditional therapy.
Military veterans like Jonathan Lubecki, who suffered from PTSD until he entered the MDMA trial, worry without FDA approval, the VA won't be able to approve this life-saving treatment for veterans.
Keep hope, because the FDA will approve this. The only question for the FDA is how many veterans and how many Americans will lose their lives between now and then.
The FDA will deliver a final decision on August 11th. Jennifer Griffin, Fox News.
Town and
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
A Canadian company that got its start distilling a milk byproduct into spirits in a large cooperative owned by Great Lakes dairy farmers broke ground on a new Michigan plant that will unite their businesses to make ethanol. While most U.S. ethanol is corn-based, Ontario-based dairy distillery and the Michigan Milk Producers Association have a different idea. They're building a new facility which will repurpose milk permeate, a byproduct of dairy goods production. In a joint statement, the group said that utilizing the milk permeate to produce low-carbon ethanol is an innovative solution to reduce our carbon footprint and provide dairy farmers with more value for their milk. The $41 million plant will go online next year and take 14,000 tons of the dairy byproduct, using it to produce 2.2 million gallons of ethanol. In other news, beef export values climbed during the month of June. Those June exports of U.S. beef reached the highest value in 2 years. Data compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation shows beef exports totaled just over 110,000 metric tons, down 4% from last year, but the second largest total this year. Export value reached $938.3 million, up 3% year over year, and the highest level since August of 2022. I'm Lane Northlund.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I'm going to just toss it right over to George Black. Actually, first, let me give a quick little, this is cool. So I just went to go fill up my coffee cup, and I was going to pour some hot coffee, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this cold brew a shot here. Speaking of the 82nd Airborne, the 82 Coffee Company out of Dillon, Montana, first met Chris Lagunas at the Warrior Taste Fest in Bozeman. And he sent me a couple of these cold brew bottles, and so I was like, man, this cold brew coffee is good. So a nice little change of pace here on Freedom Friday. George, what'd you think? Lee Zeldin, anything else? What do you want to talk about?
There's a lot of talk about John Tester. You know, we talk about him a lot.
Flip, flop, flat top.
So I'm currently kind of constructing a letter to the editor that I'm going to send out to all the newspapers and the major newspapers in Montana. But in my research, and this, we're always encouraging people to do their research, I found a website that's pretty cool. It's called Heritage Action for America. Heritage Action for America. And the cool thing about this, it's heritageaction.com. So they have a scorecard system on their website, and you could pull up any politician in here that serves in Congress. And for instance, I pulled this up on John Tester. And it lists all the major legislation that he voted for and against every year that he's been in Congress. And it also gives their view on the legislation.
Either
a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And then what he did, thumbs up or thumbs down, whether he voted for it or against it. And it really gives you a great insight into how they vote. So every time an election comes up, he starts to get all conservative and he sounds like a Republican. And suddenly, you know, he sounds like this super moderate when it's all lies. It's mm-hmm. He just flat out lies. So you can go to this website and you can look it up. So, for instance, just to give you an example, there was this Lee Transportation Amendment. It's the Transportation Empowerment Act. It was in, July of 2014. So it even tells you when it was, but it tells you what it did. So, for instance, this would have empowered states by allowing them to keep and control their gasoline tax revenues, set their infrastructure priorities, control their transportation decisions, and partner with the private sector to meet local needs. So this would have given more power to the states, and he voted against it. And they said he should have voted for it. So that's just an example of what's in there. But you can go back every year he's been in there, and you can get the truth about what he did vote for and what he voted against. So that's the type of research.
That Heritage Foundation, that Heritage Action footnote is so important, because I think Tim Sheehy was the one who actually made this point. You know, you hear it on the TV ads. John Tester voted 95% of the time with Joe Biden. But in reality, he voted 100% of the time with Joe Biden when it really mattered.
Right.
So he would vote against the left to help himself, to cover his backside. But the vote didn't really matter. If the vote really – like Keystone Pipeline is a great example, right? John Tester, oh, I support the Keystone Pipeline. I voted for the Keystone Pipeline. But when it really mattered, when his vote really could have made a difference – he voted against the Keystone Pipeline. And so that's what people really need to know, especially when it comes to phony politicians like John Tester.
Yeah, exactly.
This is kind of a random message we got. This came in from one of our listeners in Butte last night, and we got folks listening in Butte on KXTL right now. So, you know, the whole question, will Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have debates? Trump is saying, let's do all three debates. Kamala is saying, I'll do the ABC one, and I don't know about the others. This listener in Butte has a great idea. I think that President Trump should offer $1 million to the charity of Kamala Harris's choice to do a sit-down interview with me, little old me, or Fox News for 45 minutes.
So yeah.
That's kind of a cool idea.
Well, yeah, I think so.
The only thing I don't like about that is $1 million to the charity of Kamala Harris's choice.
You know, she
that
just,
could be $1 million to go to bail out, you know.
That's what I was going to say, going to bail some criminals out of jail with that $1 million.
Do we really want to go into the charity of her choice?
Ooh. Yeah, see, don't forget those types of things, people. That's very important. You know, when our country was when our country was in a dark place, she was trying to bail these people out. So that's important to remember.
When literally the forest was burning down and she's throwing kindling out there. You know,
exactly.
Got a freaking blowtorch on it.
Well,
you know,
a lot of the Democrat politicians really fan the flames of that whole thing. And that's the sad part, is we had members of Congress that made it worse. And just like Walz, you know, he's there in Minnesota. And he didn't do anything at first. He didn't call out the National Guard when they begged him to.
Yeah.
He waited and waited and waited. And a lot of that was that bad because of Democrat politicians.
Hey, did you hear my livestock auctioneer rapper song earlier?
I did.
Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I want that to be Trump's hype song. If you missed it, download the 6 o'clock hour on the Montana Talks podcast. It may already be live for you.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A third person, 18 years old, is in custody accused in a plot to attack a Taylor Swift concert in Vienna, Austria.
Investigators say he was in contact with the main suspect, a 19-year-old who was arrested along with a 17-year-old on Tuesday. With authorities saying the 18-year-old confessed to planning to, quote, kill as many people as possible outside the concert venue using knives or homemade bombs. Officials say the foiled attack appears to have been inspired by the Islamic State group and Al-Qaeda, and that no more suspects are being sought.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, the Harris-Walz campaign spending $50 million on ads in battleground states ahead of the Democrats' convention starting a week from next Monday. A new one out today focuses on the vice president's upbringing.
She grew up in a middle-class home. She was the daughter of a working mom. And she worked at McDonald's while she got her degree.
Polls find former President Trump stronger on economic issues. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's see. George, one thing I really do want to play, Jesse Waters had another incredible segment and monologue last night on Fox News, and he summed up all of these stolen valor issues involving Tim Walz, Kamala Harris's running mate. So I want to play that, get your reaction on that and more. Right on John in Bozeman. Here we go again with the phony, you know, fake news. Yesterday, John Tester could not make it into KBZK television to comment on the Trump rally. He's doing the phony bit again. Whenever he wants to go into hiding, whenever he wants to go into his basement, oh, I'm out farming. Oh, yeah, sure you are. I mean, give me a break. Like the guy is at the Bistro Cacao sipping vodka cranberries. He's racked up a $1.2 million restaurant bill in Washington, D.C. But whenever he doesn't want to be on camera or wants to hide from the press, he hides out on the farm, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Why don't you just stay there then?
You know, he bailed on a group of veterans that were in Washington, D.C. who had a scheduled meeting with him, and he bailed on them. He actually came in, said hi, and then when they wanted to start talking policy and things, he goes, I got a phone call. And they saw him walking out the window. They see him walking down the sidewalk.
Back
he bailed
the
on them.
Back to the Bistro Cacao.
You know,
vodka
exactly.
Crayons and Priuses.
Yeah,
and
it's nuts.
Yeah, again, no, kind of like military service. You know, I don't care what your beverage of choice is. If you drive a Prius, good for you. I was driving down Broadwater Avenue in Billings, and I saw a nice American flag in front of the guy's house, and there was a Prius. Yeah, good, you know, good for him. So it's not about what he's drinking and what he's driving. It's about the fact that he's living high on the hog while people back here are suffering under his inflationary policies.
Yeah, that's true. There's no doubt about that. Yeah.
Oh, man, what did Evan and Belt have to say? I got to check this
one
out.
He's got a good take on stuff.
He's always got a good take, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
One of our Air Force veteran out there. What else you want to talk about this morning?
Well, so, you know, people have kind of followed along with me on a few different things. And there was something that we had talked about, military housing, right, for those enlisted people. And so I saw a story on military.com that caught my eye. And it talked about surprise bills for military families when they move out of base housing. So move out fees. And, you know, it's just crazy. Like this one particular story they're talking about, it was at Fort Moore in Georgia. You know, they're loading up to move to Alaska because that's where they're getting moved to. And they get a $2,000 move-out fee from the company that runs the housing for the government. And they said, well, we got to replace the air conditioner because there's some rust on it where obviously your dog's been urinating on the
air conditioner. Oh, my goodness. The so they're making the troops pay for it.
So they're making the enlisted soldier pay for it. So, well, you know, our government, they may say they're looking out for us. They're not.
And I've heard those movers can be bad, too, from the active duty guys.
Oh,
yeah. Stuff's broken when it gets
saving
there.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Since the pandemic, earned wage access apps are gaining in popularity. The apps like EarnIn extend small short-term loans to workers in between paychecks so they can pay bills and meet their everyday needs. On payday, the user pays back the money out of their wages. Proponents of the app say they help people living paycheck to paycheck manage their finances so they can avoid overdrawing funds from their bank account. But some analysts, along with consumer advocates and lawmakers, say the EW apps can trap users in an endless cycle of borrowing that depletes their earnings. Many charge monthly subscription fees along with mandatory fees for instant transfers of funds. However, there is typically a no-cost option to receive funds in 1 to 3 business days. Before you choose an earned wage access app, consider using an EWA provider that has the most benefits but at the least cost for you. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Maryland's attempt to limit the carrying of firearms is now overturned following a federal lawsuit. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's Bruin decision, which unwound the restrictive gun laws in New York State, other states began passing laws aimed at preventing firearm owners from carrying in certain public places, citing Bruin's sensitive places doctrine, which may allow for cities or states to say places like schools can exclude guns. Maryland tried to apply the sensitive places doctrine to businesses selling alcohol or even 1,000 feet from any public demonstration. The Firearms Policy Coalition and others sued, and the U.S. court in the District of Maryland now says what the state did violates the Constitution. Maryland does require permits for the carrying of handguns. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the only time John Tester ever is at the farm is either when he's doing some fake, phony photo op for the New York Times or somebody like that, or when he's hiding out from the media. Have you ever noticed that? The rest of the time, he's racking up $1.2 million restaurant bills at the Bistro Cacao and the Bistro B and other fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. Evan and Belt says this. So no Kamala. This came in last night. So no Kamala for 17 days. And then there is stolen valor Tim Walz. And where the hell is Tester? I heard he is not even going to the DNC. Why, you ask? Because he is allowed by the communist left to take a pass on the convention so that he can play a farmer and pretend to be a conservative back here in Montana. Evan and Belt later says, have a great Freedom Friday. Don't forget to vote this November and take grandma and grandpa with. for those of you going to the Trump rally, I will be thinking of you while I'm on the combine. So, and that's not just a photo op. He, you know, that's what he does year round.
Well, you know, it's true. It's all smoke and mirrors, and that's what he does. And, you know, folks, Tester just got elected the last two times by the skin of his teeth. And we need to make this a resounding message to them and defeat him soundly and solidly by big numbers, because we don't need him there anymore, and because he doesn't do anything for Montana.
He had his
chance. Says he does, but he doesn't. And, you know, I seem to recall way back when he said he was going to be like a one-term senator. He was just going to go there.
Two, I think.
You know, he was going to go there and get some stuff done and get back to the farm. Well, we see what money did to him. So
my prediction is this, too. He doesn't go back to the farm. He has no desire. You think he wants to go back to the people of Big Sandy don't like him? You think he wants to go back there? They've got Tim Sheehy signs all over Big Sandy.
He's gotten so rich now. Why would he go back?
He's going to go to K Street and he's going to rack up the dough and live even higher on the hog than he's living right now. Let's see. Tim and Savage messaged us earlier as well. He says, I'm getting sick of the absolute trash coming from the lying face of VP Harris. Yesterday, when she finally talked to reporters for the first time in 19 days, she made some cracks about the upcoming debate against Trump and threw in a, if he shows up at the end. This has become a standard tool of the left to make a comment that implies an absolute lie without actually saying one. The implication that Donald J. Trump has ever not shown up is disparaging and unfair. That the media parrots this Adam Schiff is even more disgusting. We are at a major point in history come November. The future of this blessed republic is truly on the line.
Yeah, well, well said. Very well said. Yeah, they lie straight to our face. And then when they're not exactly lying, they're telling they're making you think something that's not true. So.
Now, what kind of cadences did you have when you were in Navy boot camp? You know, you're marching or you're running cadences. Were there ever any Army ones that you used, or were they all Navy-focused ones?
Well, no, they were all Navy-focused, but ours were clean, folks. Sure.
I guess ours were clean, too, now that I think about it.
Well, yeah, in whose mind?
Well, other than the, blood, sweet red blood, you know, those types of things,
right.
Types of chants, you know. But, but for the most part, you know, got a letter in the mail, or in her hair, she wore a yellow ribbon, you know. Nice songs like that.
Oh, there's some good ones out there. There's for sure. There's a guy who's made a whole career on social media about doing cadences, and he sings them. And he's got CDs out, albums of him singing different cadences. It's pretty cool.
The reason I ask is I was wondering if you picked up on that one when we were talking with Lee Zeldin earlier in the hour, the former congressman from New York, because he was in the 82nd Airborne, and that was one of the marching cadences.
He ain't going to jump no more.
82nd, patch on my shoulder, you know,
yeah.
Pick up your rucks and follow me, you know, something like that. Pick up your chutes and follow me, whatever, you know, that was a fun one. But man, now that we're talking cadence, the best cadence we ever sang, ever had a chance to run to, we were at this, what they called advance camp for ROTC out at Fort Lewis, Washington one summer. And so he was still, I think, at the University of Tennessee. I was at the University of Montana. But then I run into Frank Walkup. We're in the same infantry officer basic course. So I got to run to his cadence again. And he was from Tennessee, so he would do Alan Jackson songs to running cadence. So we'd be running down the road, you know, in a formation run, you know, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, you know, yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hootie coochie coochie, you know, and man, it was so cool. But, Frank Walkup was killed in Iraq. What a great guy.
What a memory too. You know, you do remember those guys that called cadence and stuff, because it sticks in your mind so much.
Now I got to let you talk for a second while I get these allergies out of my eyes.
There you go. Well, you know, there's another story that I wanted to bring up. Speaking about the Department of Defense and our government, there's a Department of Defense policy on telling parents about teens' health. So it's Department of Defense policy that if your child is up to 12 years old, you can be 100% involved in their healthcare decisions and that process. But once they turn 13 to 17, you have very limited access to what's going on in your child's life on a military healthcare system. So what they're saying essentially is that any adolescent seeking care for mental or sexual health, including birth control or pregnancy, counseling, any of those things, if they are identifying as a different gender, if really, it's saying they can make their own decisions on removing body parts once they're 13 years old, and they don't have to tell the parents about it.
Crazy.
So that is what our government is doing, and
to military families,
yes,
on military installations,
yes.
Basically taking away your parents' rights, transgendering your kids without telling you they're transgendering your kids, pushing abortion stuff on your kids without telling them. I mean, remember when at Malmstrom Air Force Base they had the they had this drag queen story hour targeting kids.
Yeah.
And folks, this is happening because John Tester is in control of the United States Senate right now.
Yes.
And then we wonder, George, what they're doing to military families with this woke garbage you just shared. Majority, this is a new poll that just came out. The dailycaller.com has this headline. Majority of Americans would not advise family members to join the military right now.
True. Yeah.
They after they forced the COVID jab or kicked you out, drag queen story hour targeting your kids, this woke garbage.
Yeah, I'm
why
done.
Would people tell their kids to join the military?
Yeah,
right
I wouldn't let my kids join the military right now. You know, it's obvious that winning wars isn't what our military is about anymore because of what the liberals and the Democrats are doing and forcing upon those. You know, all the people, all they want to do, except now they have people that are embedded in there that promote all this nonsense, but all they want to do is fight and win wars, and that's what they should have them do, just that. And you know what? It's not a kind, gentle thing to be a part of. And if that's what you're looking for, then you need to go join a sorority or fraternity or something like that, because the military is not for you.
Well, and I'm so optimistic and confident that we can and we will turn things around if we get Tim Sheehy elected to the Senate and win back the Senate majority, if we get Donald Trump in the White House, if we hold the House, because I know I have friends that are still serving on active duty. We all have them that we know from here in Montana. There are incredible men and women in our military that don't like what's happening right now, but yet they're sucking it up and they're driving on and they're marching one boot in front of the other, and there are leaders that are going to be ready to turn this all around. They're kind of like the stay behind element right now, that are behind the Iron Curtain. But then once that curtain comes down, once that wall comes down, they are going to restore the greatness of our national security apparatus. But if we don't do our part back here at home.
Exactly, and I hope they do, but. You know, I'm not going to hold my breath, and I don't hold out much hope that that's going to happen, because even if they do get in those positions, they're going to have to get rid of people. They're going to have to get rid of this cancer that's in there. And Trump made that mistake.
Starting with a lot of the top.
Yeah, Trump made that mistake when he was president. He got in there, he kept some people, and he even said it afterwards. He goes, you know, I made a mistake. There were a lot of people I should have gotten rid of that later caused a lot of trouble and a lot of harm. And that's what we have to do. We have to get rid of that cancer.
Well, and part of the challenge there, though, is that what we've got to do is change the law regarding federal employees, because right now there are so many protections. You've seen it with the VA.
Yeah.
How hard is it to fire a VA employee that might have killed a veteran or something like
they
that?
Don't.
I mean, good night. Like,
they don't fire them.
They reward incompetence.
Every time we get a new VA director here in Montana, it's because they got in trouble somewhere else. And then they move them here, and it's the latest, greatest thing. It's crazy.
Oh, man. I wouldn't be surprised if Tim Walz becomes the next VA director here. But, you know, like, oh, for Pete's sake. Oh, even CNN is talking about how the Harris campaign has to backpedal on Walz's bio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Fox News commentary.
A Massachusetts bill aims to strip mom and dad off birth certificates in an effort to be more inclusive. Here we go again. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America's listening to Fox News.
The left does not seem to enjoy the idea of a traditional family. We know this. But now Massachusetts radicals are taking it a step further with the Massachusetts Parentage Act. The bill aims to rewrite state law and redefine who legally qualifies as a parent. This means removing gendered and traditional terms like mother and father to promote inclusivity. Instead, watered-down terms such as parent or the person who gave birth will be implemented. Change the language, erase tradition, appease the radicals. The bill passed the Senate and is now awaiting what I'm sure will be a happy signature from the state's far-left governor. Supporters say this change would make LGBTQ and non-traditional families feel more protected. Well, excuse me, what about the moms and dads you're erasing with this silly and woke virtue signal? What a giant waste of time, money, and resources. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When is your vehicle a threat to the community? Generally, when it hits something or somebody. That's why we have licenses to drive, rules on how to drive, and consequences for those who don't obey them. There are also plenty of rules and regulations about the vehicles themselves, covering everything from headlights to airbags. But vehicle height has mostly escaped that regulation, and since 78% of new passenger vehicles these days were light trucks rather than cars, that height has been increasing, and the number of pedestrian deaths caused by collisions has been increasing as well. A new study gives strong evidence that the two trends are not a coincidence. The study looked at front-end height specifically with 3,400 crashes and estimated the likelihood of fatality went up by 22% for every 10-centimeter increase in front-end height. It's easy to understand why, both from reduced visibility for the driver and the higher point of contact with the pedestrian who struck. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Man, it's going to be a big show on Friday's Montana Talks. Not as big of a show as the Trump rally Friday night. I'll be there. But a big show nonetheless. I know we're going to have some folks call into the show that are going to be headlining the Trump rally. Can't tell you who just yet. We can never tell you who all's going to call into the show. That's part of the fun, is that anybody gets to call into Montana Talks. You don't just have to be a headliner for a Trump.
For details, MVDExpress.com. Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I can't wait for my mid-morning snack. I've told you guys about these nacho cheese Dorados before. That's right, I said Dorados, not Doritos. The Dorados are protein chips that I get from Billings Last Diet. And, you know, 6 years ago when I got back from my last deployment and, put on all the pounds, and that's when I first found Billings Last Diet, I liked the nacho cheese Dorados back then, you know, because, what is there, 20 grams of protein in these things? They taste like nacho cheese chips, but they're protein. Let's see, how many grams of protein? Oh, 15 grams of protein. Well, that's still good. But now they've got even more seasoning on these things now to where your fingers are like stained orange after you get done eating the nacho cheese Dorado. So I'm going to get my Billings Last Diet mid-morning snack. You can go get your protein snacks from Billings Last Diet as well. Whether you live in Billings, Bozeman, Butte, you name it, they've got a remote option now available. Go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. George, that reminds me of another Iraq story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's another. So when I was in Camp Shelby, Mississippi, Same place where those Minnesota National Guardsmen spent 6 months training up before a year and a half long deployment. One of the guys I deployed with was and trained at Camp Shelby with James Keeley out of Pennsylvania. He ended up going back to Iraq because his men needed him because they lost some guys and they needed replacements. We were the replacements. But his deployment prior to that, he guarded Saddam Hussein. So he would tell these stories about guarding Saddam Hussein. And they had to fatten him up before the trial, you know, to make it – because he had to look healthy for the trial. So they had to fatten him up. So you know what they did? They fed him – they got him hooked on Doritos.
Oh, really?
And he loved the nacho Doritos. That's where this came from here.
America.
So Saddam would say to Sergeant Keeley, he would go – he'd make a triangle with his fingers and he'd go, "Red, Keeley, red." And that meant he wanted more nacho Doritos.
Isn't nice.
Isn't that hilarious?
Oh, that's a great story.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the cool things about military service. You got a lot of stories like that.
You just meet the best dang people, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. Yep. So, you know, speaking of that, I see that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin finally did something. And you remember he got in trouble because he went and had a major procedure done and didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of went AWOL for a few
exactly.
days.
Yeah. So anyway, people might have noticed in the media lately that they struck a plea deal for these 9/11 defendants. So a couple of the guys that are responsible for, you know, over 2,000 people dying, they struck a plea deal to take the death sentence off the table, right? Well, I mean, first of all, I'm thinking in my head, what attorney would do that? I mean, I don't know. I guess I would want him working for me if he can swing it.
Have you seen the Montana Supreme Court?
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, Secretary Austin stepped up and he took that off the table. He goes, I'm throwing out the plea deal. So he finally did something, and that's a good thing. I'm glad he did that because a lot of people have forgotten, and now we have a whole generation of people that they just don't even know what 9/11 was.
Yeah.
They weren't around. They weren't alive.
It seems like ancient history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But for a lot of us, it's still fresh in our memories, and so that's still going on. So what is it that they haven't prosecuted these people in 23 years? They're not done with this trial. This is ridiculous. This is our government in action for you. So people ask me why I'm bitter. Well, there's one thing right there because they
salty.
Haven't taken care of
not
this.
Not bitter,
yet.
Salty. Was
salty.
The word Tim and Billings.
Yeah,
used.
There you go, salty. Oh yeah, I got to watch my language. A lot of times you hear salty.
Yeah. Well, George, great to see you. Happy Freedom Friday. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
I guess
Aaron.
You're going to Quiet Riot. Huh?
I'm going to go to that concert.
Bang yo.
Relive
head.
My '80s days.
Tim is raw.
I'm putting my Vans on, my concert tee on.
Oh man.
I'll see you there. If I had any 501s, I'd wear those.
You're going to look like Petty Officer George Blackard all over again back in the
go.
Day. All right, well, great to see you. I didn't get to the Waters clip on Walls. We'll get to that much more in the 8 o'clock hour.